Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something I can really do this.
Jason Staples here for another episode of the Unconquered Podcast. Once again, this podcast on Seminole Sports Radio and brought to you by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. Luis is, as I've said before, not only a realtor, but a trained photographer and videographer who will make your house look unbelievable online. And again, 90% of home buyer search online first now, so you better have an online marketing plan. Go through a guy like Luis if you're going to get anything done in the greater Jacksonville area as far as real estate. Let him know you found out about him through the through this podcast. Definitely help me out. Help us get more of these episodes out and be able to support this kind of coverage. That said, let's just get to it. It's a short week, so I'm not going to spend, and also, quite frankly, I don't think most of the listeners right now are want to hear me break down the intricacies of the Boston College matchup. I will get into a few things, but I'm not going to spend more than about 10 minutes on it. At this point in the season, the fact that Florida State has to come into this game very concerned that they may lose this game against Boston College is not where anybody thought this Florida State team would be at the beginning of the season. So I might as well go ahead and get to it. This is a Boston College team that has put up a pretty surprising pair of wins the last couple weeks, beating the same Louisville team that beat Florida State last week, 2 weeks ago, and then beating a Virginia team that had played pretty well previously. So, this is not a guaranteed win the way that it certainly looked at the beginning of the season. Scoring 45 points against Louisville, 41 points against Virginia. You know, this suddenly the Boston College offense has scored more points in the last two games than I think they had in like the last nine ACC games combined, something like that. I don't have the stat in front of me, but it was something staggering like that. Averaging 6.38 yards against Louisville, which is more, by the way, than the Florida State offense averaged against Louisville, and averaging a staggering 7.21 yards per play in a 41-10 beatdown at Virginia. So it sure looks like that team just turned the corner. But, I don't want to just measure by two games either. They've also struggled at different points this year. You know, they narrowly beat Northern Illinois 23-20 opener. They got blown out by Wake Forest 34-10. Notre Dame blew them out 49-20. Clemson blew them out 34-7. Finally beat Central Michigan, lost to Virginia Tech 23-10, and then all of a sudden this offensive explosion, scoring 86 points in the last two games. And they've done that on the strength of just running it down people's throats. 364 rushing yards against Louisville. Now, again, I talked about that last week and what that should have meant for Florida State being able to run the ball against Louisville. And Florida State did run the ball really well against Louisville. But at the same time, they ran it for 155 instead of 364. Ran it well, just not well enough. And not quite as well as Boston College had. Now, granted, Louisville got a couple guys back from injury. It helped a little bit, but it shouldn't have made that big of a difference. And then against Virginia, they were pretty balanced. 237 rushing yards, 275 passing yards, and had 512 yards on 71 plays. Again, that's 7.2 yards per play. It's pretty dang good. So had a couple of you reached out to me on social media and saying, hey, so what's going on with Boston College? Why all of a sudden are they scoring all these points? I mean, when did Boston College become an offensive juggernaut? So I went back and I looked at some stuff One of the things that stood out was that they came in with a really good plan against Virginia and were able to take advantage of some matchups. And I had just seen Virginia a week prior in person. And one of the things that stood out to me about Virginia was how their defense, that team plays a lot of zero coverage. Not many teams really are willing to play much zero coverage, but what that is there's no safety support. So straight man-to-man, and they play press zero coverage a lot, trying to get that extra defender in the box, playing with, you know, sometimes they'll have that safety at like 8 yards, and then they'll try to drop him so he can take away some stuff over the middle, but it's more of a robber than a deep zone player. And, you know, Boston College was able to get him either rubbed, you know, on their first touchdown, they got a key block that they pinned that safety inside on a little swing, a little flat route. It was a jet sweep. They were able to get him pinned inside on a jet sweep, got a big block on the outside, and had a kid turn it up for a long touchdown. The next touchdown in the first quarter was them getting a little screen play where they were able to block the guy who was man to man with the player that was that caught the screen pass, and then he made one guy miss, and in zero coverage there's no safety help back there, so they were again able to run away, and they got a few of those in that game. So I think a lot of it had to do with just finding a little spot here or there where they were able to take advantage of that man coverage. That man zero coverage and create some big plays against Virginia, which has done a pretty good job on the year of pressuring teams and not giving up big plays on the outside with their corners and playing real tight. Well, if there's one thing we've seen so far this year is Florida State tends not to play a whole lot of tight press man coverage, and they're certainly not doing a whole lot of zero stuff. So I don't think that stuff will apply. But Boston College is what they always have been in terms of the Steve Adazio era. In terms of up front, they are big. They're good. They're one of the best coached offensive lines in the country. I mean, that's Adazio's background, and they do a great job of developing those guys and getting those guys to work as a unit. It's a more experienced unit than they've had the last couple of years. They've got some size, and one of the things that sticks out is that they have moved the line of scrimmage. They moved the line of scrimmage against a good Virginia defense. That's a Virginia defense that has some athletes on it, and they were able to get some push and get them moving. So it's going to be important for Florida State to be able to have their defensive tackles and use their defensive tackle depth to reestablish the line of scrimmage so that Boston College can't just bully them up front the way that they have the way that they did both Louisville and Virginia at different points to really jumpstart that running game. And to me, that's as much as anything the key to this game. I was impressed by how well the Boston College quarterback moved. That quarterback, of course, is Anthony Brown, the freshman. He moves really well. He's got a little size to him, got some length. But he missed some real easy throws too. He's a guy that, you know, you don't want to give up the screens. You don't want to give up the easy yards. You want to make him work for some yards and throw into some windows and see if he can make quality throws. And I'm not persuaded that he's a guy that can really beat a secondary that's going to be in position. The stuff that they got against Virginia those were places where, you know, guys just got beat. And a lot of short stuff sprung. You just can't let Boston College spring the short stuff. You can't give up those long runs on the jet sweeps and the various ways that they've always done a good job of trying to get a gap on you or outflank you, do those things on top of running physically inside. That's just what they do. So defensively, Florida State needs to come out, use the depth up front and really force Boston College to have to throw the football with Anthony Brown and to beat quality coverage. And again, you've got to worry about a lot of the unbalanced stuff that Boston College will do. They'll go 2-3 tight ends at points, but they're doing a little more spread stuff this year than they've done in the past. They've got more guys. They're confident that can actually catch a pass and make a play out there. So they're doing some trips and they're moving around. One of the other things that stood out to me is how often they're using a lot of rub and crossing concepts, you know, some mesh type stuff where you have a shallow cross from each side, players running crossing routes at about 3-4 yards downfield from each side, passing each other. A lot of man beaters in those cases, which makes sense given the teams that they're playing. But they'll do the same thing to Florida State. They'll require some communication in your secondary and among your linebackers. And again, that's something Florida State struggled with at different points. But again, that's basically how that's going to boil down on the defensive side. I do think they're going to have a hard time. It's going to be tough sledding for them to run it like they have on that Florida State defense. If you look at how they how well they were able to run against say Virginia Tech, 4.64 yards per carry, against Clemson, 2.85 yards per carry, against Notre Dame, 4.2 yards per carry. I think Florida State's defense will probably put them somewhere in the middle there. I'd expect somewhere around 3.5 yards per carry overall. And that's not adjusting for sacks and so on. But I'd say somewhere between 3 and 4 yards per carry is about what you can expect to see. And as long as Florida State doesn't give up big plays, I think they'll be able to handle that offense and limit them somewhere in the teens is most likely. Defensively, Boston College, again, is what they've been most of the time outside of some of the time when Don Brown was there. They became a pretty blitz-heavy team. But typically, in Adazio's tenure, they've been a very heavy zone team. Again, they're coming up and pressing a little bit more than they have in the past. But, you know, they're a physical team. They've got two really quality edge guys on the front, particularly Harold Landry, who's maybe a first-round end. Might be the best overall end in the country. He's right up there. Florida State certainly didn't block him very well last year. You know, they've got quality edge guys, but I don't think their defensive tackles are as good as they've been. I think this is a team you can run on between the tackles a little bit. This is unfortunately not, this would have been a really good game for Jacquez Patrick. It's not the game that Florida State would have wanted to lose Jacquez Patrick, but it's, I think Florida State should be able to, and needs to focus on making sure they create some running game between the tackles. And there are throws to be made. The throws to be made, unfortunately, though, for Florida State are mostly in the middle of the field. They play a lot of middle of the field open type stuff. In what I saw, they also played some robber, some single safety, you know, with some guys in that middle area. So in that case, you invert that and you head more to the outside, which is where Blackman's more comfortable. But you know, they've typically been a zone team, and they will take advantage if you are not hitting your spots. They'll turn you over. And that's got to be the big concern. Will Blackman get fooled by any of those zones, or will there be a deflection? And again, in zone, everybody's watching the football, so you know any sort of deflection or whatever is much more likely to become a turnover. And that's really the key to this game. Florida State can't turn it over. They turn it over, you know, 2-3 times in this game, and they'll get beat. That said, again, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. This should be, I mean, you look at the rosters on each side. You look at the performance of these two teams. Florida State should win the game. But what we've seen so far this year is FSU is a team that can play with anybody in the country. Can absolutely play with anybody in the country. They just haven't been able to close the deal against any good teams. They can play with anybody. They can't close the deal. Actually, I got a text message from someone earlier this week that was saying, man, you could put Florida State in a room full of naked nymphomaniacs and pay the nymphos to do their thing, and Florida State would still find a way not to close the deal. That's how things have gone this year. They can play with anybody, but they're not closing the deal at any point either. So, I mean, this is a game that you look at it, Florida State should win, and they should win comfortably, but they've got to learn how to close the deal. They got to learn how to get those inches. And how to fix the details that allow them to actually close teams out when they should, and that so far has been lacking. So I don't, you know, again, as I'm thinking through predictions or whatever on this, who knows what's going to happen in this game? You know, Florida State could come out and blow this team out. They could come out and lay an egg. You know, so much depends on how they want to come out. What team's going to show up? Are they going to actually fix any of those issues in terms of the little details that are keeping them from closing teams out? You know, are they going to turn the ball over a couple times and get themselves beat by double figures? I mean, there's any number of things that could happen here. Anyway, if I'm going to, you know, this is what I got to do here, if I'm going to put a number on it, I'd say something like Florida State 24, Boston College 13. Or you say, actually, I'm going to go with a little different. I'm going to count on that defense to falter somewhere in the fourth quarter to make it close. Florida State 23 and Boston College 17, and it's going to, you know, how about another nail biter? There you go. That's what I'll put on this one. And again, Florida State, I'll say 65% chance of winning this game in Chestnut Hill. It should be way higher than that, but the way this team has played, you just can't anticipate any of that. Now, before I go, I am going to take a few mailbag questions. So the first question is, if Kevin Sumlin were to be fired, are there any coaches at Texas A&M that you can see Florida State having an interest in? If so, who? And I took a look through, and I really don't see anybody on that staff that would be somebody that I think Fisher would likely go after. I think there's going to be other candidates on the market for some of the spots that may come open at Florida State that will be more likely than anybody on that staff. So no, I don't necessarily see anybody on that staff that I see as a likely interest for Florida State. All right, next question. This is from Chris Mickler on Twitter. Big picture, programs that collapse almost never return to previous levels under the same leadership. What odds do you give Jimbo? I'd say somewhere above 90%. Because again, he is in most of those programs that do collapse, the circumstances are pretty significantly different. This is not a situation where talent has fallen off. It's not a situation where the head coach isn't an excellent coach. It's a situation where they've got a good foundation in the program, but they're going to need to make a few key changes to get things back under control, particularly on the perception side, and just change some of the things necessary to reset some of the key, again, this perceptions inside and outside the program, how things are received by players, how things are. Just the overall perception of the direction, and then get some guys that can teach in certain cases, where certain techniques and mechanics have not been real good and have fallen off there. If they can get some teachers in that can take some of that talent. Listen, I think 2018 could be a really, really good season, and you could have a turnaround. Notre Dame is an obvious one that has turned around very quickly by just making a couple coaching changes there. They had talent. They were 4-8 last year, and all of a sudden they are a legit national title contender this year. That's the sort of turnaround that you could see from Florida State, particularly since also the schedule is going to be a lot easier in 2018. I mean, the ACC is still going to be difficult. And you know, Florida is still on the schedule, but you look at that schedule, and that schedule is nowhere near as difficult as the last 2 years, which are two of the more difficult schedules Florida State's ever had. And so, you know, you combine a little bit softer schedule with some of the necessary changes that need to get made. I think things flip around pretty well. Now, if you're asking, will Jimbo Fisher ever win a national title again at Florida State? That's a harder question to answer. But again, anytime you have top five talent, you're in the ball game to you're in the discussion as a possible title team, because so much about winning a title is being the team that stays healthy. Being a team that stays healthy and, you know, gets a quarterback that gets hot. You know, these are the sorts of things that everybody needs if you're gonna win a title. I mean, even Alabama has needed quality quarterback play every time they've won a title. You look at the quarterback numbers that they've had, those guys have been really good at the quarterback position at Alabama. They're just not the stars of those teams the way that, say, Deshaun Watson was for Clemson, but they've had really good quarterback play every time they've won. So, you know, that's basically where things sit. I think it's, you know, 90%. It would be the percentage that I would say Jimbo gets it turned around. I'll be shocked if it doesn't turn around, and I'll be shocked if it doesn't turn around quickly. Cause again, he's going to make some really good hires here. The calls that he's made have been good. I think some of the other things that, you know, as you sort of figure out some of the guys that are going to be on his list or that are on his list for certain things, they'll be able to put some things together. I still hope that, you know, certain things in terms of fourth down math, in particular, some of those things can get resolved. Perhaps some of the new blood can help with that. But you know, even if it doesn't, then we'll see what ends up happening. But I think they'll be right back in the thick of things next year, as likely as not. So that would be my answer there. Let's see. Next one is, what big recruits do you think Florida State will land in this year's class that are not yet committed? That's a really good question. And honestly, I don't think we can really answer that question all that well right now because there are going to be so many changes. And so I think some of the big fish at the end of all this are going to be a little bit more wait and see on what's going to happen at the end of the process. I do think that there are a couple of big fish that there will be a chance of getting because of some of those changes. I think actually there's one really big fish out there that they'll probably lose as a result of one of the changes that's going to get made. So you know, we'll see what happens. Relationships matter though, and who they hire for certain things, what changes get made is going to determine a lot. And so that's a hard question to answer at this stage, and I'm not really ready to throw any names out there in terms of, you know, who's the other big name that they'll get. One thing I'm quite certain of, I'm very certain of, is that they will get a few big names. I'm talking about high 4-star or 5-star guys once they actually do get into that home stretch with some of those guys that are going to be uncommitted after the December signing period. I think they'll be able to get in on some of those guys and end up landing them. But we'll see. I do think that, you know, this season, I don't think there's any doubt that it has negatively impacted recruiting. I think actually, if anything, it's probably not the 2018 cycle as much that might be affected, but more the 2019 cycle, which again, you might be able to fix that with the right changes, but you know, with Georgia's momentum and all of that, and how much Florida State was looking to poach Georgia in 2019, I mean that stuff is a factor. So yeah, I mean, and I got some questions about that, about how much this has you know, that was one of the other questions is let's see, this is a question from Twitter. Do you think this year's bad luck, or so to speak, or, you know, just bad results, hurts recruiting for 2018 or the coaching changes that are to come? And my response to that is, yeah, I mean, again, it's things are going to hurt recruiting, and it will hurt some in 2018. It's already, I think, cost them Justin Fields, which is a massive loss. But I think 2019 could have a few big losses as well. And they'll still have a really good class both years, but, you know, and so they'll be better off than, say, the 2013 class, which really put this program in a bad spot after those massive coaching changes in 2013. That class hurt them, and that affected their ability to build off of that title in 2013. But you know, the relationships matter, and a lot depends on exactly which guys get brought in. And then the next question after that is, you know, how much does it impact things, not just in Georgia, but with Miami having success with Rick, how much does that impact things? And it does impact things, but I think that Miami staff was going to land kids anyway. The Georgia situation, that was a place where Florida State was really making headway and potentially making inroads that they haven't had there in a long time. And that's probably going to be negatively impacted by this season. It certainly has been negatively impacted by this season. So in any case, that's a quick mailbag for that. Once again, this is a short week, so I'm going to get to go ahead and file in this one. I'll answer other questions that I have left out with the first podcast of after the Boston College game. But I got to get to bed here soon and get ready for coaching my own game on Friday night as well. So that'll do it for us today. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast, sponsored by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida, here on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
I made this.